I am joined by Lawson Doyle and Carly Ferguson of Sunflower. It's a pleasure to be joined by you guys. How are you doing?
Hello.
Hi, good, thanks.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks
on the
for
show.
Having us, yeah.
Now, I will give the listeners the context that this is the third time we're doing this recording, because the first time I forgot to save the recording, and the second time my Wi-Fi cut out halfway through. So hopefully this time we'll be able to get an interview done and actually saved, and we're actually out over the airwaves. But we will start.
I believe in you, Alex. Yeah. We can do this.
If not, we'll just keep going. We'll just keep finding out.
Yeah. It's not me you need to believe in. It's the Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Okay. Come on, Wi-Fi. You can do it.
So let's start off with a question that I've asked before, but a different one. I would like to know, what's your weirdest gig story? Because obviously you're a musical artist. You love getting out on the roads, going to festivals, going to bars, getting up on stage. What is the weirdest story you've got from a gig?
Well, I've had, an experience one time. The band I was in before, we played like this massive festival. It was like 10,000, 15,000 people in the crowd, but it was absolutely pouring with rain. And we walked up on stage and there was this thick layer. It was like a pool and there was electrical equipment everywhere. And like, it was a total rock show. It was amazing. But looking back, it was incredibly dangerous. And there was another time where this was when we were kids. We went up on stage, we played the show, and then the host came out and was like, "Do you want another song?" And the crowd was just like, "No." Okay.
Oh, brutal, brutal.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that was nice.
For me, it was when we were, I was in my last band and we were touring the East Coast and we played this little town called Port Macquarie. And like, for some reason, some of these regional towns just have like the strictest policing. And they had some really rough rule about having to stop music at about something like 11:30 or something at night, you know, like, and so. What they had was they had these sensors that cut off the music. They meant to cut the power, but instead of... I'm pretty sure what it was like half the room was connected to one circuit and half the room was connected to another. So we didn't actually know about this, but the power cut, because we went after this time and we were too loud and there was a bunch of people and stuff. And, you know, we just, like, kept playing because we were like, oh, all right, we should keep playing. Anyway, like, the owners ended up, like, running through to the front of the sort of pub and, you know, shouting, stop, you know, like freaking out they were going to get a fine. Anyway, we actually got banned that night because they thought we were just absolutely just
taking
the mickey out of them. But we didn't actually know. So, you know.
Oof. Ouch. What is your dream gig then? If we move from the weirdest gig to the dream gig, what would be your dream place to play?
Glastonbury, definitely.
Yeah, definitely Glastonbury.
Or the Isle of Wight Festival.
Yeah, yeah. Also like Royal Albert Hall and Madison Square Garden and Red Rocks in America. We like have a very long bucket list that we will definitely tick off as the years go on. But
yeah.
I might be revealing my...
At the moment, any stage, though, to be honest.
Yeah. Honestly, like, you know,
like, we miss it.
I might be revealing my lack of Australian musical knowledge here, but no Sydney Opera House in there?
Ooh, oh, I didn't even think about that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I mean, wow. Definitely.
Yeah, there's a lot of seagulls and stuff around the Sydney Opera House, but that's... You've seen Finding Nemo, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's essentially like... Same. It essentially looks exactly the same. Yeah, yeah.
No, Lawson's a very big Sydney fan, so he wants to move there and take the whole band with us. So, but yeah, definitely Sydney Opera House is beautiful.
Actually, funny story is Better Days, the artwork for Better Days, which our new single, that photo for the artwork is taken right near where the Opera House is. So, fun fact for all you kids listening at home.
Like 30 seconds down the road from there.
Yeah, and Better Days released about a week ago now on the... Actually, a week ago to the day as we record this on the 14th of May. And it draws a lot of influences from bands such as Oasis, such as The Wombats. How important is it for you to draw on your musical influences when you're trying to create a new tune?
Oh, super important. Yeah. I think every musician in history, bar none, has plagiarized in a way and then kind of revolutionized. So you draw influence.
Well, everyone stole off the Beatles, didn't they?
That's true. That's very true. But we all draw influences from music that we listen to. I mean, Lawson and I have very music-loving families and especially parents. So we both grew up listening to a lot of music, and, you know, it's something that we're still, to this day, we listen to and are inspired by. And yeah, the music we create in Sunflower is definitely drawing a lot of influence from the 60s and 70s, like the Fleetwood Macs and the Eagles and Rolling Stones and... Yeah, the stuff we grew up listening to and loving. Love Oasis, don't you, Lawson?
Yeah.
Lawson just dreaming of Liam Gallagher.
you said that very wistfully, didn't you?
I'm thinking about him right now.
How are you managing to continue producing and making music despite, in the last few weeks, not being able to get out and practice because of the lockdown?
Oh, well, we had to adapt like every other artist. So we did like a lot of like before the isolation started, we released a little live EP called Isolation Jams to Bandcamp and here in Australia, and sold that, and it was sort of like a live EP. And then, you know, everyone went into isolation, so we kept in contact with each other through like Zoom and FaceTime and kept writing. And but we're quite lucky here in Australia because, like, I mean, Lawson and I just got back from a band rehearsal where all five of us were allowed to be in a room together finally for the first week and play together. And we've got a lot of live streams coming up. But, you just have to adapt. Like, life hands you hurdles sometimes, and you can either feel sad about it and angry, or you can go, okay, what am I going to do with this? How am I going to make this work to my advantage? And we've had to get really creative, but... It's been in some ways it's been fun to sort of be tested in that way, you know.
How is it to get back into being in the studio after all this time of being locked away in your homes?
Oh, it's an incredible feeling. Yeah, even just the ease of being able to play all together is just so nice, because there's something really important. There's something so amazing about that energy you feel off each other.
So much.
And we had a really nice rehearsal tonight, actually, so just, you know, our rehearsals is just all of us sitting in a circle naked eating pizza together and crying into a communal bucket and talking about our feelings. But it's really beautiful. It's really nice. What do you mean that's not what it is? You can tell him.
That sounds like more like your dream of what our rehearsals are.
I didn't dream anything.
Or if you boys are doing that, I'm sure I'm not invited.
Anyway.
I'd like to be invited.
it's a total vibe.
And obviously you're coming out of lockdown now, fortunately for you, but what's the one place you've been missing most during the lockdown period?
The stage.
Yeah, any stage.
Any stage, anywhere. We are so keen and we miss it so much. We've been doing a lot of live streams as a band, but it's definitely not the same performing for a camera, obviously. So, yeah, we can't wait to just get up on a stage and feel the lights in your eyes and the bass drum in your chest and... people, you know, waiting in anticipation for that first chord of that song they love and singing it back to you. Like, that's the stuff that makes you feel truly alive as an artist, and that connection. And yeah, we can't wait to have it again.
And you've spoken a lot about your love of being on stage, but if you were on stage for one thing that wasn't music, what would it be?
I would be a very good actor.
You probably would.
I already do act in real life.
Yeah. I honestly don't know. I did love public speaking when I was younger. Maybe I'd be...
Oh, you would too.
I would be a prime minister or a president or something, wouldn't I? Yeah. Boss everyone around.
Yeah. So either the rock stage or the debate stage for you.
Exactly.
Play a little bit of a game now, and I'll try and stretch out this list of 25 Australian slang words and try and pick different ones again.
A game.
What is togs?
Oh, that's like swimming suit.
Like, all right.
Put your togs on. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Where does that come from?
I don't know. It's a weird one, isn't it?
That's like, a classic.
That's what it means.
No idea. And what about, this is, I think, a musical related one. What's Akadaka?
The greatest band ever come out of Australia. AC/DC, of course. It's just it's funny because it's actually not a simpler way to say them. It's like a longer way to say it.
Yeah.
But it's AC/DC, Akadaka. suppose it's the same. Yeah, anyway, just fantastic Australian rock band that you should be listening to when you go home tonight.
And what is Wuckers? What does Wuckers mean?
Oh, no Wuckers. Oh, worries, mate. You know, like, but it, you never say it without context too. Like, it, you never say, have you got Wuckers? You just say, nah, no Wuckers, mate, no Wuckers, you know, like, no worries. Mm-hmm. It's all good. Now, that's definitely simpler.
Mm.
It's all about cutting corners over here.
And it, this one's one that I recognize from like clothing brands. What's a billabong?
Oh, that's like a...
Yeah.
It is a clothing brand, but it's also like, what is it? Like a isn't it like a wetland type?
Yeah, it's like a I'd call it like a an area next to a creek where you could like hang out and smoke a billabong.
Yeah. Or, right.
Or set up a tent and camp out.
Mm.
What's a sook?
Someone who's having a bit of a whine. So someone who's
Being oversensitive.
Yeah, someone who's upset about something that they sort of don't really justifiably have the right to be upset about. Like, you know, and you say stop being a sook.
Mm. And finally, what's a bottle-o?
Oh, that's an alcohol shop. That's where you go and get, you know, your spirits, your wine, your beer. Mm-hmm. A bottle-o.
The best place in the world.
Speaking like a true alcoholic.
Speaking of which, what is your go-to drink to ask for on your rider when you go to a gig?
Well, due to my lawyer's wishes, that would be a Jameson Irish Whiskey Triple Distilled Proprietary Limited.
But we also love our... I mean, every Aussie loves their beer, so we love our beer. We love. I love both of us do. Record-a-Lig ciders, like strawberry and lime.
Good choice, good choice.
Very nice. Mango and raspberry I tried the other day. I was like, damn, that's a good flavor. I love that one.
As we're talking, there's also a filthy drop over here called 4X Beer. Brewed in our city of Brisbane, where we are.
It's a good one.
And it is a filthy drop
of
the most delicious lager you've ever tasted.
We love our Guinness. Love a good espresso martini.
And
but due to our lawyer's wishes, it would have to
be Jameson. But definitely Jameson.
It would have to be a Jameson Irish Triple Distilled Proprietary Limited.
This question's a bit of a one for me, really, because I'm fascinated by instruments being found in songs where you really wouldn't expect to find them. So if you could take one instrument that isn't really related to rock music and indie music and make a Sunflower song with it, which one would you pick and why?
A theremin, like they use in Black Dog, Led Zeppelin Black Dog. What a weird and wacky instrument. And, you know, how rock and roll is a theremin?
What about you, Kelly?
That's a tricky question. I'm a big fan of, even though it's super corny, the, like, trash can snare of the 80s. I love that sound. I think it's great. So I'd love, you know, I'm all about the getting the weird like household things, and because a lot of artists do it actually, just get like trash cans and bowls and cutlery, and you add it in as sound, like textural sound effects. That kind of thing I think is great. I mean, in the next single we have coming out, there's like, you know, blowing out a candle like and stuff like that. We've used a lot of that sort of thing. So, and like rain sound effects and city sound effects. So I really like that sort of thing.
And you guys met at a festival, didn't you? You met at Blues Fest 2019. Can you tell me a little bit more about how Sunflower came to be?
Well, we're in two turbulent musical groups previously. We're actually competing against each other at Blues Fest because we were actually sort of the runt of the litter kind of artists at that time that were like Blues Fest is a very big festival over here, you know, as sort of like last year we had Iggy Pop headline it, and you know, Jack White usually does it and a few others, so it's a big deal festival, but we were playing on sort of this massive stage, and throughout the week leading up to the festival, because the festival runs across basically 5 days from a pretty much from a Wednesday through to a Sunday or a Monday or a Thursday. And yeah, throughout that week, we were sort of competing each other against each other in some heats. And yeah, Carly and I started talking.
We were both really struck by each other on stage, and that we were both very sort of eccentric on stage. And we just started chatting, and we started writing songs together. And I co-wrote a couple of songs for his band. And then that was April last year, and then coincidentally, towards the end of last year, both our bands, for completely different reasons, sort of fell apart, and we ended up looking at each other and just being like, you know what, let's start something fresh
We were writing songs on the side just for laughs, you know?
Yeah, yeah, but just they were good lols. Songs. And we were like, I mean, we never really expected to make a band together from that, but it just eventuated that way. And yeah, having that clean slate was just a really good thing for both of us. We both learnt so much from the acts that we were in beforehand. Mm. So we've sort of brought that knowledge to this band and tried to fast track it as much as possible.
Mm.
It's so far it's been a blast. It's going wonderfully, and we're really excited to see what the future holds for it.
Yeah, Sunflower isn't your first foray into music for either of you. Carly, you've come from the Fergies, and Lawson, you've come from Port Royal, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
And you guys were in those bands for quite a while. How difficult is it to move from a project that you've been working on for a long time into something new?
I mean, change... change is always hard, like, you know.
She's cutthroat.
Both of us have a soft spot for both the acts that we were in before. Because they were our babies, you know. We put so much time and effort and love into them. But at the same time, truthfully, it feels really great to have a clean slate and to paint a new picture on a blank canvas. And you know, this new band that we're in is definitely, because Lawson's old band was very much a quite a heavy rock band, a heavy rock and roll band, and then mine was sort of a more sort of clean cut folk group with like big harmonies and stuff. You know, we found this really nice middle ground between the two, like edgier than what I was doing before, but softer than what Lawson was doing before. And and it's definitely from the, like, we've noticed it's a lot more accessible than what either of us are doing before. So it is hard to say goodbye to the past, like with anything. But it's exciting to look to the future, especially when you have such a bright proposition at your fingertips.
So,
yeah.
And how did you find the other members of the band? Because obviously you guys met at Blues Fest, but there's three other people in Sunflower. How did you get Luke, Dan, and Will, your drummer, guitarist, and bassist, in on the project?
Well, Dan's my brother, so he was actually in the band that I was in beforehand as well. So the two of us both jumped on board this new act. But Will is your friend from school,
well,
isn't he?
Will was a year ahead of me in school, I ran into him at a bar like not too long ago when I was like with my, with my other band, basically after a gig we played, and he was sort of, you know, he's a fanboy, really.
He was,
but he was egging me on to have a jam, and then I finally followed him up on it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and he'd been egging me on for a while, so I thought, you know what, let's give it a go, why not.
And then Luke, our drummer, took so long to find, because we really tried out so many drummers and none of them were quite right. And then Luke came in and he just nailed it and was incredible. And he'd done sound. He's a sound engineer, so he'd done sound for both of our bands beforehand. So we both knew him. Mm. And he just came in and nailed it. So, yeah, it was like all a bit of a puzzle that came together piece by piece.
Does Luke produce a lot of your stuff with Sunflower as well?
He doesn't, actually. Funnily enough, his brother is a producer, so he's been co-producing our next single and then producing our third single. So the Woods family definitely have a lot of talent in them, that's for sure.
Mm. Speaking of your next couple of singles, what are your plans for the future? You're out of lockdown, you can get back together and start working together as a band again. What does the future look like for Sunflower?
We're gonna be like a bull at a gate as soon as these restrictions lift and things go back to normal. And hopefully, you know, a cure is found for COVID. We're so keen. Like we've got a music video for Better Days coming out in the next week or two, and our next single will come out at the end of June, and we're just going to keep releasing singles and and take baby steps towards normalcy again. We're working so hard, like every day. Lawson and I especially, we're just working our butts off. We have a lot of live streams coming up and national ones, and just building the fan base and creating content, and
I reckon that's it, isn't it?
Pretty much.
Be the biggest band in the world, as you said before.
Be the biggest band in the world.
That's the priority.
There's
really
heaps of other steps on the way, but I don't really want to bore you with them. It's just as simple as just being the biggest band in the world.
Private jet at some point.
Most influential music group since Oasis, really.
A couple of mentions would be good.
Who cares about that?
Songs all over the radio.
I just want the number one.
Most importantly.
As Nickelback said, we all just want to be big rock stars living in hilltop houses and driving 15 cars.
How good's Nickelback? You know what? Nickelback get a lot of hate, but I like them. I like Nickelback.
They're my favourite band.
Your favourite band, are they?
Second favourite after Oasis.
Alex, I've got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Is your favourite band Sunflower?
I think I will wait on a full album before I declare my love for you fully, but I'm a big fan of Better Days. My favourite band at the minute is actually an Aussie band, so I'm interested in your opinion on them.
Band?
My favourite band is King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard.
Oh, really?
Is that right? From Melbourne?
Yeah, I'm a huge fan.
We played a venue.
Hmm?
Yeah, we played a venue in Melbourne that they sold out like 3 nights in a row, and it's like a 360-degree venue.
Yeah, it's really cool.
But it's like esteemed famous because they, it existed, but they did like the unthinkable and they like sold it out like.
They're very popular down there.
Yeah.
Have you seen them live?
I have not seen them live, unfortunately.
Right, apparently that's where they shine, live. They're a very good live band.
Yeah, I'm very jealous of a couple of my friends who have been to see them live, because they came over to England last year, which is before I was at uni, so I didn't have the chance, but they were up in Leeds, which isn't too far away from York, not too long ago. I love everything that comes out of Flightless. I love King Gizz. I love the Murlocs. I think Whitney are on Flightless as well. They're really great.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I am no stranger to Aussie bands, so maybe
cool. Well, good on you, Alex.
Maybe Aussie Sunflower music's... will work their way into
first LP coming soon.
Yeah.
And if you want to keep up to date with all things Sunflower as they advance through the world of music on their journey to be the best band in the world, then you can follow them on Instagram at Sunflower Official Band. And I believe you have a Facebook page as well.
Of course, yeah. Sunflower Band on Facebook, all capital Sunflower.
And Sunflower's brand new single, Better Days, is available on all good streaming services. Thank you very much to Lawson and Carly for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you, Alex.
Yeah.
And thank you for listening to this interview. You can follow the band on Twitter at Sunflower Band with 2 Ds on the end. You can follow URY on Twitter at URY1350 or the URY Music team at URY Music. Or if you're interested in the stuff that I do, come and find me on Twitter at Alex Towels. Thanks very much for listening, and we'll see you for more music interviews on URY very soon.